Thank you, Sam. This is a Mercies of God radio broadcast coming from Little Rock, Arkansas. Now let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how we thank Thee today that we can come to Thee, and how awful it is when people overlook salvation and fail to realize that there's a devil's hell that's awaiting them at the end of the road. We pray, our God, that Thou wilt move upon these hearts, cause them to listen in like never before, and then, our God, finger around their souls as only Thou art able, and cause them to come down the road of conviction as Thou dost draw them down this way, and then, our God, we pray, raise them back to salvation as only Thou art able. How glad we are the door of salvation is still open. And Lord, how glad we are we have the privilege of yet broadcasting Thy truth as it is to men and women and boys and girls as they are. O Lord, sanctify this effort, make it acceptable in Thy sight, then use it for Thy glory and honor. And thank You again for this precious privilege. We pray for those out there in Radio Land. Thou dost know every need, and we lift them to Thee and pray, our God, work out Thy purpose in their hearts and lives as only Thou canst do. Thank You now again for this privilege of knowing Thee. And Lord, we wait upon Thee for a blessing, and we'll just praise Thee forever and ever. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for Thy sake. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8 down through verse 17. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. I want to bring you one more message on the eyes of Christ. Last time, we talked with you for a few moments on the various kinds of the eye. Now, as I've mentioned before, we'll mention again. The eye is the most important part of the body. Now, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Matthew for just a moment and look with me at chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22 and 23, we read these words. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, when we talk about the eye, we don't necessarily mean the physical eye that we're talking about. And we find here, because this was brought out in Matthew chapter 6, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, which is it that catches your attention? And we find very clearly that our Lord has the eye, and He looks upon us, because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Now, the eye is the most important part of the body, and we need to understand that. As I've said before, it's important in the Bible because it's mentioned 534 times in the Word of God. Now, in the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking on the different aspects of the eyes of Christ. We see He has eyes of sympathy, He has eyes of love and understanding, He has eyes of intelligence, and He has eyes of wrath and judgment, and I want to look at that for just a moment or two, and then He also has the eye of loyalty. And oh, if we ever need to dwell on that, we need to dwell on it at this present time. My Lord has an eye of loyalty. In other words, He looks upon us as His children to see and sees whether or not we are loyal unto Him or whether we vacillate from one side unto the other. Now, my Lord is absolutely loyal in all that He does. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? 2 Timothy chapter 2, look with me, if you will, verses 11 through 13. It is a fateful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Here you see the loyalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's that talking about? When our Lord sets his love upon an individual, put it down. That love is an everlasting love. Our Lord has loved us from before the foundation of the world, and in due time, he reached down and saved us. And now, because he has redeemed us, we are precious in his eyes, and we find very clearly he has eyes of loyalty towards us at all times. No matter what is done, no matter how far away we stray, our Lord is loyal, and he will not ever turn us out or cut us off. But he is loyal because he has a loyalty that is second to none. And oh, how we need to understand this, and how the people of God need to be loyal in the things of the Lord. Let me give you an example, if I may, in the book of Hosea. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 14 for just a moment. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Here you have the loyalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have his compassion. And here you have his yearning, as well as his desire. And we see very clearly, this is what he says. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Now listen to these words. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall be spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as the smell of Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Now what do you have here? Here you have loyalty set forth. Now loyalty means that an individual remains the same. When our Lord is loyal, he was loyal unto God the Father. He obeyed everything that God the Father required of him. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The reason? Our Lord counted with such great joy the number that he was going to die for, that he despised the cross and looked upon it as nothing. And yet we know what a terrible thing it was to die on the cross of Calvary. Our Lord was loyal. Whatever God demanded of him, and whatever God wanted of him, our Lord did it without hesitation. Now, our Lord remains loyal, and we find very clearly our Lord is committed to certain realities. And these realities will not change, no matter how much and how many times people try to change them. And what are these realities? Well, first of all, there is no salvation outside of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means there's but one Savior. That Savior is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by tongues. We're not saved by water. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by church membership. We're not saved by anything but the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord is committed to that. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now that means that every individual, I don't care who they are, how religious they may be, how powerful they might be, or how great a number there is. Every individual that has not repented and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will not go to heaven. Now we need to understand that. These are some of the aspects that our Lord will not deviate from. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen to this. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And our Lord has eyes of loyalty. In like manner, we find also that our Lord has said very clearly, not only is there no salvation outside of Christ, but our Lord has also set forth the method and the means by which the individual is to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The method is Holy Spirit conviction, and the means is repentance and faith, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Without repentance, there's no faith. Without faith, there's no Christ. Without Christ, there's no redemption. And we find God will not deviate from that one iota. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you repented and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the Holy Spirit ever opened your heart and made you realize what it means to be a lost sinner? Now this is something else we need to understand. People today do not know what it means to be lost before God. But the Scripture is very plain. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And my friend, before you can be saved, you must be lost. And you need to understand that very clearly. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit as He quickens the heart of a sinner, opens that individual's soul, and shows them who they are and what they are and the judgment they're under. And that individual begins to tremble and to weep and to cry, mourn unto the Lord God of heaven, because of their sinful condition. And at the same time they begin to do that, we find God is working in their hearts and granting them repentance. And in due time, my Lord reaches down and saves them. Now you say, preacher, in due time? Yes, sir, that's right. People today, you know, they want instant everything. They want instant coffee, instant tea, instant ice, and so on. And they think that if they utter a few words, they have instant salvation. But it doesn't work that way. Salvation is like the birth of a baby. And when a woman has to bring forth that baby, she brings forth that baby by much travail and pain and so on and so forth. And we find that salvation, it works out the same way. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you put it down. You read the Word of God and you'll see from Genesis to Revelation that these three things stand out. There must be Holy Spirit conviction. There must be repentance on the part of the sinner. There must be faith granted to the individual, resulting in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to that person's soul as their absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. And this comes at God's discretion and God's time, and we find, and God is the one that brings it to us and gives it to us, I should say, and it thus makes salvation to be all of God and all of grace. Now I hope you know what I'm talking about. Here we see our Lord has the eyes of loyalty. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now why do I tell you this? Because one of these days, every individual, man, woman, boy and girl, is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you have an inevitable appointment to meet the Lord Jesus. And when you do meet the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, this is what's going to be your cry. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter 6, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the wrath on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Here you have the eyes of Christ, and they are eyes of redemption, they are eyes of compassion, they are eyes of understanding, but they are also eyes of wrath and judgment. Now, by that we mean very clearly, they are intelligent eyes. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles and turn back with me to Psalm chapter 34 for just a moment and look with me at verse 15. In Psalm chapter 34 and verse 15, we have these words. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His face and His ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now turn to Psalm chapter 66 for just a moment and look again at verse 7. In Psalm chapter 66 and verse 7, He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Here you have the intelligence of the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? There is absolutely nothing that you can hide from the Lord God of heaven. One of these days, every individual is going to stand before Christ, those who aren't saved, and every deed that they've done, every thought that they've had, every word that they've uttered, which has been against the Lord God of heaven, will be brought to their memory, because you see, your brain is the finest computer that's ever been in existence. And I'll tell you right now, you never really forget anything. And when you stand before the Lord God of heaven in your unsaved condition at His throne of judgment, I'll tell you right now, God will bring every thought that you've had into remembrance, every deed that you've done into remembrance, and then you're going to have to pay for them. And oh, what an awful day that will be. You see, these are intelligent eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm on the radio urging you to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner, because I know the terrible judgment that awaits an individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find, last of all, there are the implacable eyes. Now, what's that mean? Eyes without mercy. You see, now is the time of mercy. Our Lord says to you very kindly, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. But now I want you to notice, our Lord also has the implacable eyes, eyes that will not show mercy. And in Proverbs chapter 1, and we find beginning with verse 24, we read these words, "Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as destruction and as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Oh, what an awful day that's going to be. Now, in this closing moment, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want to face the Lord in that category? Oh, I know there are some people that say, "Well, preacher, I'll take my chances." My friend, there's no chances for you to take. It's either repent or perish. It's either turn or burn. It's either to surrender unto the Lord Jesus Christ or suffer the torments of the damned for all eternity. My Lord keeps the record. His eyes are intelligent eyes. And right now, they're looking upon you in compassion. And right now, I dare say the Holy Spirit's dealing with some heart and urging you, or as I do, through my voice, I urge you to cry unto the Lord for mercy. He will not turn you down, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. It can happen to you right there. And my hope is that something has been said that will stir your heart and cause you to seek the Lord and sue for mercy while you still have the opportunity. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and all may the Lord spare you before it's too late. You have been listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas. Our mailing address is now the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, Post Office Box 1030, Mabelville, Arkansas, 72103. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, and may you receive a blessing for doing so.